12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins on the line with us this morning, going to talk to us about what the home stretch of the legislative sessions for 2021 means, essentially, and also about rumors of a special session. He'll tell you why that's possible, at least, or being talked about as a possibility. And also we'll catch up on some of Brad's personal legislation that he's trying to get finalized and sent to the governor's desk by the time we're all said and done for 2021, whenever that might be. And Brad, always good to chat. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Chris. Thank you so much for having me. And really, it's been great to connect with you each week throughout the session. So thanks again for that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always great to chat with you, Brad. Let's start by talking about, obviously, the sessions, where they're at. You've got less than a week left, although there are some rumors swirling around that we could have some extra time. We'll get into that here in just a bit. But in general terms, what does the last week or the last few days even of a session typically entail?
Well, sometimes it's fits and starts, but this is the crunch time. Basically, the 105-day session is scheduled to end on Sunday, April 25th. So basically, that means between now and then, we need to finalize these final pieces of legislation that still need to be agreed upon if changes were made in one chamber or another. But the most important thing we need to do this final week is approve the three biennial budgets, operating, transportation, and capital. And in order to approve those in the final couple days, what we really need to do is get the budgets finally written so that they can be fully reviewed today or tomorrow. So we have just a couple more days to put the final touches on the agreements between the House and the Senate on all three budgets, and then get all the attorneys actually putting together the budget language. There is an extensive review process that they do internally on that language. And then also the members of the legislature, House and Senate, Republican and Democrat, and also the executive branch, the governor's office, is looking at those final budgets really closely too, because in the end, we all need to agree on the same document. And the budgets usually have a 24-hour, they're made public 24 hours before any potential votes, and that gives the public a chance to weigh in on what was finally agreed upon for a potential vote, but it also gives the legislators a chance to do that review so that we can offer any amendments for the final floor action for those three budgets. So it is a very busy week, these final few days.
All right. Well, it's obviously been a very busy session for you, as it typically is, Brad. But as far as the potential for a special session is concerned, overtime, essentially, that is being talked about. So tell us about why that is, I guess. And, you know, it'd be the first one in a while if we were to see that occur.
Yeah, it's a very interesting sort of bit of speculation, but just in the past week or two, the movement has been advancing towards trying to get two or three major pieces of legislation that are very important to the governor, by the way, to get those approved and signed into law. The one is a cap and trade climate bill, which we've discussed. There's a low carbon fuel standard bill, and then there's also a transportation investment package, which is above and beyond the 2-year transportation budget. It would include a new list of projects to be completed over the next 16 years with a corresponding list of revenue raisers, gas tax increases, and a carbon fee. So you put it all together, and actually the three together, or really any one of the three, could have the effect of significantly increasing gas prices. But when we put all three together, it could most definitely do that. The carbon cap and trade bill and the low carbon fuel standard have both passed the Senate. The transportation investment package with new revenues and new projects, that has passed the Senate Transportation Committee, which I serve on. And so they're not really too far away from punching it across the goal line. And given that that's such a high priority for the governor, if they can get these three budgets approved this week, and they're really close on getting agreement on one of the three or three of the three of those other proposals, the governor may very well just call us back into a special session immediately after the 105-day session ends to give everyone like an extra week or so to try to get these three policy priorities of his to his desk.
So would this be a bit unprecedented, Brad, that the governor would actually call for a special session just to sort of see to it that the fruition of his agenda was accomplished, potentially, per the legislation that's been circling around in the House and Senate this year? I mean, that again sounds like the allusions that you're making. So is that uncommon, or would that be kind of unstandard?
It would be uncommon and unstandard, but it's within his authority to do that. The governor can call a special session in accordance with the Washington State Constitution for any reason for up to 30 days. Although it would be very ironic, though, if he calls a special session on his climate and low carbon fuel bill, after having for the past year, having us been out of the legislature during a COVID pandemic and us wanting to come back as a legislature to help him with some of the decisions related to COVID and these federal stimulus dollars. And he refused to call us back into a special session. But if he were to actually do that for his signature climate bill and a new transportation investment package and another thing, that'd be kind of, peculiar. Normally, the governor would call a special session if we haven't reached agreement on the budgets. But it does appear as if we're on track to do that. So in this case, if he were to call a special session, presumably it would just be for these other things. And I think he probably wouldn't take that step unless the House and the Senate were very close to agreement on some of these other major pieces of policy. I think the governor acknowledges that, or would acknowledge that, the political odds are really in his favor at this window of time. And that's probably part of the reason why he passed the capital gains income tax as well. But basically, they have broad majorities, Democratic majorities in both the House and the Senate. And Governor Inslee, is still in his position. Things may not be this favorable for some of these policy priorities of his ever again. So even though it's sort of just rumor at this point that there could be a special session for these things, I kind of see how logically, at least for him, it might make sense to call a special session. I don't know if it would be unprecedented, but it would be unusual for something other than the budgets.
Talking with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins on this morning's Coho Morning Show about, again, the possibility of a special session that is being rumored right now. So I guess, Brad, the question that you don't have the answer to calls on speculation, but in your best guess, I suppose, what do you think the chances are that we will go into extra time here to do that, or perhaps even some other things that you've alluded to this morning?
At this point, I'd probably say it's 50-50. I am a somewhat decent political prognosticator, but I think it has more to do with how close the negotiators of those three policies, the cap and trade climate bill, the low carbon fuel bill, and the transportation investment package, how close they are to actually getting agreement with the House Democratic members. The Senate has already passed a lot of those, but there are disagreements upon, some of the major priorities, even within the Democratic Party. And so the House Democrats and the Senate Democrats need to somehow find agreement on those things, or else we're just going to be too far apart in this remote session to get something, of that large scale across the finish line. I always suspected that, something big is going to happen this session. But then when we got into this hybrid remote session, I kind of thought, well, probably not going to happen this year. Those things are going to have to go on the back burner, because this remote hybrid session just doesn't lend itself well to the normal give and take of legislative negotiations and compromise. But things started percolating the past few weeks. And then when some of these bills started to pass out of the Senate, then I kind of I started to wonder whether it might be possible. But at this point, I think it's probably 50-50 whether we'd go to a special session. But I will say, if there is any chance that any of those bills, especially the climate cap and trade bill, could actually pass, I would almost say it's 80 to 100% likely that the governor would call a special session to do it. It's basically his life's work, and I know how important it is to him. And so I think he would pull out all the stops to get a bill like that to his desk, and if it had a chance to get to his desk.
Talking with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins today. So, Brad, I want to get into the pieces of legislation that you've been personally responsible for, you know, trying to push through the legislature this year. I know a couple pieces are already on the way to Governor Inslee's desk, and you're hoping that one more might make it as well. Real quickly, though, we've talked a little bit, especially with Reps Gaynor and Steele, about the emergency powers that Governor Inslee has. This is sort of different, but does this also get into maybe kind of looking or taking a second look at the powers that any governor has to try and, again, push through something that seems to be a bit more agenda laden? I know that there is an agenda that every politician has, be it for their own personal beliefs or hopefully more for their constituents and the voters within their district. And as the governor, he represents Washington State and certainly doesn't represent everybody's opinion. But, you know, does this kind of get into the same mix of just exactly how much power the governor has, even to gavel a special session to order and cost the taxpayers money on behalf of something he wants to personally see happen?
Yeah, well, it's something that he feels has great value to the state, so I guess it's just a matter of philosophical opinion. But you know, the governor does have the authority to call a special session. We technically have the authority to call ourselves back into special session, but we actually tried to do that over the interim during the COVID pandemic, and it was really challenging. So we're actually trying to reform that system to provide clarity for how the legislature could call itself back into a special session in any future years. But you know, the reality is, I think Washington State, because it's really grown in population and the size of the state budget has grown and the complexities of the state and some of the needs, I think Washington State, looking at it broadly, is just really struggling with this idea of a part-time legislature. You know, we're only in session for 3 or 4 months of the year, and there's so much to do that can kind of get crammed into this huge funnel of this time period. And frankly, I'm not sure it always results in very thoughtful pieces of legislation because we're so hurried in the process, especially in this final week, no doubt. So I think, you know, whether we have special sessions and we call ourselves into that, or whether we at some point as a citizenry look at broadening the state constitution to expand the number of days that we're in a session to maybe 4, maybe 5 months, 6 months, something like that. A lot of states like, well, I know California, although that might not be the best example, but there are a lot of states that do a year-round legislature. And I'm not suggesting that, but for example, if we had something like that during the past COVID pandemic, we would have never had the same concerns about executive powers. Those are really only the most heightened with the concern for executive powers when we're not in session. And frankly, according to the state constitution, we're not in session many months of the year. And so I just think Washington State is wrestling with that as it continues to grow as a state and its economy continues to grow as well.
Yeah, it would make sense to me. I know a lot of people may not see it that way, but it would make sense that legislators would be on call at the very least, 100% of the time, 365 days a year. But again, I guess that's something that'll have to be explored in future sessions. Brad, in the few minutes I've got left, talk to us a little bit about some of the bills that you drafted that have made it all the way through the process and are headed to the governor's desk. And then again, there's one piece I know you're very hopeful might still actually get to Governor Inslee for his signature as well.
Yeah, so I had three bills that passed the Senate this year. I was really surprised that all three of them were in play. One is the providing an equal tax incentive for hydrogen fuel cell vehicles to similar tax incentive to what the state has long provided to battery electric vehicles. Both are zero emissions. And that bill has passed. It's on its way to the governor. I'm very excited about that. Another bill related to utility wildfires would help implement some important recommendations of an electric utility DNR wildfire task force and keep some ongoing communications in the future related to this important issue, especially given what's happened in California with utilities and wildfires and loss of life and economic devastation and electric utilities going bankrupt. You know, it's a very important issue in our state as well. And so I was excited to partner with Chelan PUD and the DNR on this bill. That bill has been approved. That's on its way to the governor as well. The third bill, the tow truck operator bill, which we discussed several weeks ago, would help provide some compensation to tow truck operators if they are called out by law enforcement to clear a vehicle from the roadway and the driver was deemed to be negligent in that process. It would provide some opportunities for those tow truck operators to recoup the cost of their service so they don't have to absorb those costs. That bill passed all the committees in the Senate, approved by the Senate, approved by the House Transportation Committee, got to the House floor calendar. All it needed was to be brought up for one vote, and we didn't quite get there. We ran out of time. So that final bill, I'm still trying to negotiate in this final week to see if that might just pop out. But for now, two of the three of those bills I think is is good work for the people of the 12th District. So I was very proud to get that all the way through. The hydrogen vehicle bill, for example, had to pass through five different committees between the Senate and the House. So all of these bills, to get any bill across the finish line is a lot of work. Less than 10% of the bills that are introduced actually get signed by the governor. So for two of the three of my bills to make it at that point, I'm very pleased about, but I'm still hoping to get that third one this week as well.
All right, Brad. Well, we'll look forward to finding out whether that happens or not. I know that regardless of whether the session goes into extra time or not, you'll be with us next Tuesday to kind of maybe wrap up the session again if it doesn't go into extra time. And if it does, we'll continue looking forward to having chats with you here on Tuesday throughout the course of the overtime. And again, we'll look forward to getting you on a monthly basis after the sessions do wrap up for this season as well. We'll work through folks over there at the administration to see that that gets done so we can chat some more down the road. 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins with us on Tuesdays throughout the legislative sessions rather here on COHO 101. Brad, I appreciate the time as always. Thanks again. Stay safe and we'll talk soon, okay?
Likewise, Chris. Thanks so much.